This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we will begin today with presidential politics and a new WBUR poll of likely voters in New Hampshire, one of the key battleground states in this current election. With just 5 days to go until Election Day, the poll finds Republican Donald Trump has caught up and is now in a virtual dead heat with Democrat Hillary Clinton. The poll also found a swing towards Republican Senator Kelly Ayotte, who now leads Democrat Maggie Hassan by 6 points in a Senate race that could determine the control of the next United States Senate. Joining us now with more is WBUR's senior political reporter, Anthony Brooks. Anthony, it's good to have you.
Hi, Meghna.
Okay, so let's start with the presidential race. Tell us what the poll found.
Okay, so this poll, very consistent with a number of polls across the country that suggest this presidential race has tightened considerably in the last week or two. And our poll is part of a trend. We've done four polls recently, going back a couple of months when Clinton was up by about 11 points. 6 weeks ago, we had a poll where right after the first debate, she was up by 6 points. 3 weeks ago, up by 3 points. This latest poll, Trump up by 1 point, which is virtually a dead heat. It's within the margin of error.
So we've seen a long-term tightening.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And one of the things that stands out is that voters continue to deeply dislike both candidates. And this is a trend we've seen from the start. Only 37% have a favorable view of Trump, which is up slightly from 3 weeks ago. 36% have a favorable view of Clinton, which is down a bit. So for the first time, Clinton is viewed less favorably than Trump, according to this poll from New Hampshire. And here's Steve Cazella. He's president of Mass Inc. Polling, which conducted the poll.
I mean, when we started the campaign, Trump was the most disliked candidate ever to be nominated by a major party, and Hillary Clinton was the second most disliked. So, you know, this voter distaste for the candidates is not necessarily a new dynamic, but it has not improved at all.
Meghna, the polls have sort of been a little all over the place. Just last week, UNH did a poll that found Clinton up by 7 points, but this afternoon, a new Boston Globe, Suffolk University poll finds that Clinton and Trump are tied in New Hampshire. So that's very much in line with the WBUR poll.
I see. Now, this poll, the WBUR poll, was conducted after FBI Director James Comey really shook up the race last Friday with that news that he's reopening an inquiry into Hillary Clinton's emails. Do we know if that had any effect on these polling results?
Well, it's difficult to answer that with any to be sure about it. I mean, you're right that this the polling happened right after that, between Saturday and Tuesday. What the poll did find is that 85% of the respondents said they had heard a great deal or a fair amount about the story. Now, nobody knows what's in those newly discovered emails or even if they're relevant at all to the investigation. But the story perhaps has fed the narrative that, Clinton's got this problem around trust. Here are a couple more statistics from the poll that play into this. A little more than a quarter of respondents, just about a quarter, say Clinton is honest and trustworthy. 70% say she is not. Trump's numbers are slightly better. A little more than a third say he is honest and trustworthy. 60% say he's not. And one more point related to this subject from the poll, which is a reminder of just sort of how grim people feel about this election. Almost 70% believe Trump has done more to divide people than bring them together. Just over half feel that way about Hillary Clinton. And nearly 60% of New Hampshire voters, according to our poll, say the presidential campaign has made our democracy weaker rather than stronger. Pretty grim numbers.
Wow, yeah, we are awash in so much negative sentiment here. But then again, not terribly surprising given the nature of this presidential race. So let's move to the Senate race in New Hampshire. Tell us what the poll found about the race between Senator Kelly Ayotte and Maggie Hassan.
Well, Kelly Ayotte leads, according to our poll, Maggie Hassan by 6 points. And there's a sort of overall shift toward Republicans running statewide in New Hampshire in that Senate race, as well as in the governor's race, where Republican Chris Sununu now leads Democrat Colin Van Ostern by 5 points. So it seems like this movement is being driven by the top of the ticket, where this race remains very close. And consider that there is still a sizable percentage of undecided, 7%. So which means that this race is still kind of could go either way in New Hampshire, according to this poll, and will come down really to the final days.
7% undecided with just 5 days to go. Oh, my. Well, so I guess that means, Anthony, that the ground game and the get out the vote effort is going to be of supreme importance in New Hampshire's I mean, typically, or at least in elections past, have the Democrats had the advantage there?
Yeah, big time. And this has been a concern among Republicans during this campaign, that Trump has been flying in and out a lot. He's been to New Hampshire 8 times just since the convention. He's coming back tomorrow. He'll be back again on Monday. But his campaign isn't coordinated with other Republican campaigns like Senator Kelly Ayotte's. He doesn't have the kind of field organization that the Democrats have, the kind of get out the vote organization. So here's Andy Smith. He heads the polling center at the University of New Hampshire, who says that there are historical reasons why the Democrats have this big organizational advantage in New Hampshire. Here's what he said.
The Democratic Party for decades or a century had been the minority party in the state and didn't have access to people or financial resources that the Republicans had. And consequently, they had to rely on essentially manpower to try to get voters out to the polls. And they built a very, very good get-out-the-vote operation over the last several decades.
Yeah, so in Magna, consider 2014, Democrats faced losses across the country, but in New Hampshire, Senator Gene Shaheen was reelected to the U.S. Senate. Democrat Governor Maggie Hassan, despite being outspent, was reelected governor. And folks up there say that had a lot to do, if not everything to do, with a superior ground game.
Mm. But nevertheless, Anthony, as you said a little earlier, Donald Trump comes to New Hampshire a lot. And I'm seeing here, in fact, that Ivanka Trump is actually in New Hampshire campaigning for her father today. And as you mentioned, Donald Trump himself back in the Granite State tomorrow. And I see that he's even going to be ending his campaign in New Hampshire on Monday.
Right. He's going to be ending it right where he started it, in New Hampshire. And the reason is because he thinks, with these polls tightening, that he can win there. And the fact is, he needs to win there. Clinton still has an advantage on the Electoral College map. Despite this New Hampshire poll, other recent polls suggest she's leading in states like Florida, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, to name a few. If Trump is to win, he needs to win just about every one of those major battleground states and flip a normally blue state like New Hampshire. So those 4 electoral votes could matter. I mean, don't forget 2000, when Al Gore lost New Hampshire, mm-hmm. a state that Democrats thought he should have won. Had he won that, he would have been president, and the dispute in the state of Florida wouldn't have even mattered. Democrats are aware of this, too, and they're not taking New Hampshire for granted. So tomorrow, Chelsea Clinton's going to be in New Hampshire. On Monday, President Obama's going to be in New Hampshire, the same day that Donald Trump will be there.
Wow. Okay. So, Anthony, that's presidential politics. But before I let you go, can we talk about another hard-fought battle? One that went down to the wire.
Oh, yeah.
The 11th hour decider. I mean, one of the things I miss most about having you as my co-host is, who's going to talk baseball?
Well,
we've got to talk about the World Series.
We've got to at least mention the Cubs, and I'm glad you asked that question. And, yeah, so I treated myself yesterday to an evening off at a bar in Cambridge. Thank you, McCabe's on Mass Ave. I thought I was going in there for maybe a beer and a couple of innings. I watched the whole
thing. Hours later,
after midnight. But what a game. I mean, you know, this was just one of the great game sevens of all time, where it comes down to extra innings. The final at bat, the final batter could have turned it around. It could have gone either way. But the Chicago Cubs, of course, winning after 108-year drought. And I have to tell you, Magna, I'll confess, I was sort of rooting for Cleveland because of the Terry Francona link. Mm-hmm. I have a soft place in my heart for Terry Francona. But the Cubs, clearly the best team of the season. They deserved the win. And what a fantastic game. And it got me thinking as well about Theo Epstein, another Boston connection, right? He's the president of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs. He built this world champion. He did the same thing in Boston 2004,
yep.
And ended our drought, 86-year drought. And it got me thinking about what he should do next. And I'm thinking, he ought to run for president. Come on, he can bring people together. He can do great deals.
He's a winner.
He did it here in Boston. So Theo Epstein for president coming soon.
You may be onto something. Someone like the OFC, I think that may not be far out of the realm of extreme possibility for stuff he wants to do with his life. But WBR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, and also today our baseball reporter as well. Anthony, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Magna. Thank you.